الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى وإذ قال لقمان لابنه وهو يعظه يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, Luqman alayhi salam is the only non-Nabi whose advices are recorded in the Quran Sharif. He was a black man with all the features of a black man: a flat nose, flat feet. A black man had come toward Sayyid ibn Musayyab rahmatullah alayhi, one of the leading tabi'is. And he was feeling a little bit embarrassed about himself, perhaps his complexion and his features. When Hazrat Sa'id ibn Musayyab rahmatullah alayhi explained to him that there's no reason for you to feel embarrassed, because there were three blacks that had overtaken everybody. One was Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu anhu, surpassed everybody. The second was Mahja, the freed slave of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And the third was Hazrat Bilal radiallahu Luqman alayhi salam. All of them exceeded, excelled, and overtook everybody. فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَلَا أَنْصَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. The day of Qiyamah, lineage means nothing. Your complexion, your race, nationality means nothing. What counts is your deeds and your heart. That's the thing that counts. Although in this world we operate differently, we look at lineage, nationality, race, complexion, color, etc., but that is as far as this world is concerned. Sometimes it is apartheid, sometimes it is affirmative action. When it is apartheid, then we are longing to be a white. When it's affirmative action, we want to be a black. So that doesn't count by Allah Ta'ala. What counts there is the heart and the deed. Because the heart and the deed, both are in your control. The complexion, nationality is not in your control. So when Allah Ta'ala gives you a trial is about something that you have a choice, you can work towards it. But if it is something that you can't work towards, then it's not a trial. So He gives you a trial over a thing that you can work towards. Therefore, He didn't make these things as trials. Quran alayhi salam was offered nubuwat, a choice between nubuwat and wisdom. So every word of a Nabi or a Wali is something to be recognized, identified, understood very well. Ulama explain that the entire world of Muslims cannot equal the status of one Wali. And all the awliya put together, the highest and the lowest, all of them, they cannot equal the level of one sahabi. and all the Sahaba put together, they cannot equal the level of one Nabi. And all the Anbiya put together, they cannot reach the level of Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you can well imagine what is the status of Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there are certain areas which we can work towards, and certain areas that is closed. So we don't unnecessarily work in that area. And if someone is sitting in a masjid and making dua to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, appoint me as a Nabi. Now we know that that area is closed, finished. And no application and no supplication will bring you to that level. So it's a waste, effort in waste. Right? Person is born in South Africa, so you say, hey, America, there's the boom in America, then Allah, let me be born there. Can it happen? Can't happen. So there are certain things that are decreed, passed, and over, signed and dusted. So don't endeavor, don't go in that direction. You're created as a man, are you longing to be a woman? Or you're created as a woman, you're longing to be a man. So this is signed, dusted, finished. It's the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learn how to live with the decree of Allah ta'ala for you to be a happy person. Really, life can be very enjoyable. It can be a pleasure if we learn to be happy with the decree and the decision of Allah ta'ala. It's the decision of my Allah ta'ala, and I must be happy with it. We are required to do just two things. One is to accept the command of Allah ta'ala wholeheartedly. And then number two is try to the best of your ability. Every person has a different level, capacity, acumen, intelligence, all diverse and different. Different categories, different levels. But you are trying to your capacity, to your level, as well as you are happy with the decree of Allah Ta'ala, then as though you have passed the test. Some years ago, there was Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Mehtar. Tamad Barakatum. Now he's in LA, Allah Ta'ala. Give him more barakat, accept his work, his khidmat, etc. So around the late 50s or beginning 60s, he had the urge to become a Hafiz. He's living in Gilitz, and the only town that can afford a Hafiz at that time was some Miyaji in Pine Town. Now he's begging and pleading with his mother that I must become a Hafiz. Allah Ta'ala looks, are you trying? Have you got the niyat? Your heart is good. You like me, you love me. With all your heart, with all your mind, do you love me? So if you love me, then you must love what I command. You cannot say I love you, and then you don't love the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there's no consistency. Love Allah ta'ala means you love every command of His. You love every believer. From your heart and your soul, you love every believer. Right? You may have a difference of opinion, or if some believer is off the cause, you may dislike what he's doing. But as a believer, you love him. You love him and you love him to bits. Sa'id ibn Jubayr radiyallahu anhu, that was killed by Hajjaj, when he was speaking to Hajjaj, dialoguing with him. So Hajjaj wanted to know from him, that why are you so straight when you are addressing me? You know, I am the ruler here. I've got powers, but why are you so straight? He says, I'm so straight with you because I love you. I don't want to see you getting to Jahannam. Imagine within minutes he's going to be slain. But even to that point also, he doesn't hate the man. He wants him to be coming onto the cause that he can be eligible to Jannat. That's the mind of a believer. That even the Muslim that is wanting and endeavoring to kill you, for that person also you are longing, you are wishing, may Allah Ta'ala grant him Jannat, give him the right tawfiq, the grace, that he sees right, he understands right, and he applies himself right. So these are just two things that Allah wants to see in us. Are we embracing the law of Allah Ta'ala completely? So when there's a Hifz Jalsa, we often hear the hadith that the person who becomes a Hafiz, he's allowed to intercede for 10 people, right? But the hadith is conditional. The condition is أحل حلاله وحرم حرامه, provided he believes the halal of Allah Ta'ala to be halal and the haram to be haram. Allah Ta'ala has declared interest haram, then it's haram. I don't want to justify, I don't want to make stories, I don't want to turn things around, but it is the law of Allah Ta'ala, I accept it wholeheartedly. Perhaps I'm involved in a wrong, but I don't want to justify it. And I don't want to say, why is this the law of Allah Ta'ala? Why did Allah Pak not make it halal? I don't want to say that. So if Allah Pak declared wine as haram, it's haram. If he declared gambling as haram, it's haram. Swine as haram, it's haram. LGTB is haram, it's haram. So whatever Allah Ta'ala declared haram, then I believe it to be haram. What he declared as halal, I will take it as halal. I don't want to mix things, I don't want to mix issues and say, no, it have a natural tendency towards this wine, therefore it is halal. Your tendencies, leave it aside, but it is the law of Allah Ta'ala that rules. Otherwise, if someone comes and tells you, I have a natural tendency towards your wife, then you'll give him 2 kicks, right? In the brute language, Spingo language is a little bit not cultured, you see. It's a little bit more cultured language. But if someone ever says that, what do you do? You won't appreciate that. You won't entertain that. So what Allah Pak has declared halal, we take it as halal. What is declared as haram, we take it as haram. So that is now the essential condition, requirement for you to qualify for that. That you are graced to take 10 people to Jannah. But now you don't take the halal as haram, haram as haram. And now you want to qualify for that. How will it work? So Luqman alayhi salam is given the choice between nubuwat and wisdom. And he says to Allah Ta'ala, and I say this words of the awliya, the words of anbiya, every word has to be marked. Because really there's a lot of wisdom behind it. A lot of wisdom, a lot of lessons, a lot of depth in it. Sometimes we don't understand. We seeing the something just from the surface, but we're not looking at the depth. In Delhi, there is a masjid. They call it Jama Masjid Delhi. It can take, approximately 50,000 musallis at a time. One of the biggest in Delhi from the Mughal Empire from that time. So there's various entrances, the eastern, the western entrance. So around the eastern entrance, one person is like a fakir, he's seated there. And he's talking to himself, he says, Tu mera khuda nahi, main tere gulam nahi, to main teri baat ko kyun manu? Not my God, and I'm not your slave, why must I listen to you? Now, it's the multitudes of people that have performed the Jummah namaz, and they're leaving. As they're leaving the masjid, then every second person says, yeah, so kafir ho gaya, he's become a kafir, he's become a murtad, etc. They're labeling him one time, one way. He is repeating the words, Tu mera khuda nahi, main tera gulam nahi, to main teri baat ko kyun manu? Not my God, nor am I your slave. Why must I accept, why must I take you? Why must I believe? Why must I worship you? So, after some time, you know, it's a big crowd, Jummah, like how in the Haram Sharif, for the crowd to come out, it takes time. After about 10 minutes or something, one person was understanding. He said, ask him, who is he addressing? Who is he talking to? So, when that question was posed, he said, afsos ki baat hai. What a pitiful situation. Ke pure Delhi mein mahas ek hi hoshyar aadmi nikal aaya. In the whole Delhi, there's just one intelligent person. I'm addressing my nafs. My nafs is demanding for something that is not right. I look at a girl or something, right? And I'm telling my nafs that you're not my God, nor am I your slave. Why must I listen to you? My nafs is demanding, got a demand, you know, say tendencies, etc. So my nafs got the tendency to look, but I am just defying it. And to strengthen my defiance, I'm saying, that you are not my God, and nor am I your slave, then why must I listen to you? So these words of this awliya kiram, really, they have to be understood in perspective to be appreciated. But if we didn't understand them, and then we are passing side comments, really it is not fair. To understand them fully, what are they referring to, or what is the explanation behind this? Do you understand all these things here before we label them? Either we don't read the books, but if we read the books, then understand the context, what they are talking about. In this lockdown period, you know, so there were a lot of boys living at the granny's place, auntie's place, etc., came for holiday. So I used to see one child in the masjid, and with these youngsters I would be quite informal. The idea is to encourage them towards deen. So you have to joke with them what you had for afternoon, what you had curry kichri, what you had aloo farai, what you had. So anyway, they'll talk to you openly. So I was a little bit open with the child. The child tells me, you know, Bukhari Sharif has got a hadith that you don't have to wear the topi in namaz, because the Sahaba Kiram used to just wear one cloth at the time of namaz. So there was no topi. So why do you people insist so much that you must have a topi? So now I understood exactly what this child was saying and where he's coming from, right? So I said the child in the masjid, now it's an open area. So I said the child, I said, someone has quoted the hadith rightly, but out of context. Understand the context of the hadith, then you'll appreciate it. It was a time when there was a scarcity of food, clothing, and everything, right? Everything was scarce. Now, when the Sahaba Kiram heard about the importance of performing namaz with Jamaat in the masjid, right? With a virus or nothing, but to perform the namaz with Jamaat was the most emphasized thing. You just got one piece of cloth. Imagine that piece of cloth is just covering you from slightly above the navel till the knee. But under that conditions also, they were not allowed, they were not exempt from performing namaz with Jamaat in the masjid. No clothes, absolutely no clothes. So Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then explained to them, أَوَلِكُلِّكُمْ ثَوْبَانِ, has every person, or does every person have two cloths? So it is a scarcity, and they feel perhaps not appropriate to attend the namaz. No, no. You don't afford more than that. Just come with that to the masjid. Because your sadr is covered. The main area is covered, but you don't leave, don't abandon the masjid. Come to the masjid. And then I explained to the child now, I have to come to his age now. He's 8 years of age and someone told him this hadith. Right? So now I have to come right to his age and explain to him that if you just take it on the surface without the context, then the inconvenience, the wrong that you can bring about, how you can misconstrue the hadith. You see, there is the hadith of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, where he was appointed the Amir, right, of a Jamaat, 300 Sahaba Kiram. And they are on, right? And they were given a bag of dates. And they reached a point where just one date was given to each Sahabi, 300 of them. And that was the quota for the day. And after that was just leaves that was soaked in water, and they would eat on that, and that's how they would continue, right? It's long hadith. But if it is that you want to go on the surface of the hadith, I ask you, keep Roza tomorrow, right? 10th of Muharram, keep the Roza, and tell your mother that she must only give you one date and a glass of water for iftar. I ask him, is that on? He said, never, Mulana, can't be. There must be 5 types of savories. Kabab, you think I'm keeping Roza like this and nothing was happening at home? There must be some works at home. There must be some variety. So you can't manage, if you are accepting this, right, that just one cloth or two cloths and namaz, then accept this as well, that must live on just one date. One date. So this was at a point of constraint that they were allowed, and this was also at a point of constraint that they had to live accordingly. Now you want to just take hadith as you would like, then I ask you, are you misconstruing or not? It's a misconstruing. Otherwise, if you're accepting this, accept this as well. But you just want to take something that is enjoyable to you, and that is also because you are overwhelmed with Western culture. Western culture is shake up with one hand, don't wear a topi, wear tights, right? That is Western culture. Our culture is totally different. When our culture is totally different, we have to understand it, that Islamic culture is totally different. You know, I had to address some woman, so I said, if you look at all the eras of Islamic history, there was three or four things that was common in all the eras of Muslims that were practicing, Muslims that were respectable. The clothing of women and men was quite loose. It wasn't tight and body hugging. Show me one era where the clothing was body hugging. You know, the contours of the body is visible at the time of sajda, ruku, etc. You can't show it. That was one. It was loose. The second thing was this, that the clothing was flowing. It wasn't short. One was that the clothes were loose. The second was it was flowing. At any point of Islamic history, show me that the clothing was tight, body hugging. All this is Western secular temperament and culture that we have licked up, we've taken up. We didn't even realize that this is what we are taking on. Then the third thing that was prominent in the Islamic attire was the head was always covered. A man or a woman, if you look at any part of history, well, one is the point of constraint, difficulty, you don't have it, you can't afford it. It's a different thing. But one is you have it, and then not to adorn it, just because we are becoming overwhelmed with a foreign, alien culture, really, it's not on. So that was the third thing that was very prominent, right? And the fourth thing that was prominent in Muslims was, you know, look at the time of your dadi or great dadi, right? She was in the home, and she was looking at all the chores of the home, and the man was outside the house, right? Can anybody that's sitting here, he saw his great dadi, right? Walking with his great dada, the bazaars and gallivanting, etc. Anybody do it? Anybody see it? You know, you didn't see it. So this culture is totally alien to our culture. It's not an Islamic culture. It's alien. Now you're trying to justify the thing. But you can't prove it through the annals of history that Muslims behaved in this manner. But the right thing is to come back to the original, not to justify the wrong that we are doing. See, I look at the hadith this morning. One of the things that attracts the wrath of Allah Ta'ala, you've got looting and all these things here, but one of the things that attracts the wrath and the anger of Allah Ta'ala, when a wrong is being committed and we brazen about it. Phones, we are brazen. You get things that you're not supposed to be seeing. But we brazen. What's wrong with it? Just a movie. So what? It's educational, instructive. I remember when I was about 8 or 9 years of age, you know. So you're getting all type of musallis. We were in the reunion, you know, at that time living there. Near Swingo Rail. Not the reunion near Mauritius, right? So, we were living there. I was a 9-year-old boy. So one elderly musalli, tahajjud guzar, is pabandh on his tahajjud. One day he came up to me, says, you know, but why don't you go to the movies? So no, my parents don't allow us. We considered to be like a big sin, you know, major sin to go to see the movies. So no, you must look at it. Now that old man is telling me, he must be around over 70 at the time. Now he's giving me his side of it, you know, he's trying to justify and prove. He says, because if you don't see these things here, then how are you going to romance with your wife then? So I told the chacha, you know what? Nikah and this reproduction is not now. It's from Adam Ali Islam's time. And all was happening, everything was happening normal. Now suddenly, now you need to go to the movies and all that to learn these things here to be able to perform. Is your senses right? He shouted at me, but could say anything after that. Is your reasoning right? This thing was carrying on right from Adam Ali Islam's time. They didn't need to have all these movies and all these things here to educate you in these things here. Now, where did you come up that now you need to have these things here to learn up? Anyway, talking of Luqman Ali Islam, So he was offered to choose between nubuwwat and wisdom. So he asked Allah Ta'ala, see now, the wali, when he asks, when he talks, then every word of his must be counted, must be understood. So he says to Allah Ta'ala, O Allah Ta'ala, if this is your command, then I'll embrace it wholeheartedly. But if it is left to my discretion, then I excuse myself. So they asked, someone asked Luqman alayhi salam, but you know, nubuwwat is the closest link to Allah Ta'ala. Why didn't you accept this? So he says, you see, if I accept it of my own discretion, of my own accord, then this whole office of nubuwwat would have been assigned to me. I must go and sort it out. I must see that this mission that I am commissioned with is accomplished. But if it is the command of Allah Ta'ala, then he will help me out, because he is commanded and he has placed me there, so he will see to it that it's accomplished. So he preferred wisdom. Now, what is the essence of wisdom? The essence of wisdom is anishkur lillah. That show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the very essence. Gratitude, be grateful. Now, this gratitude is such a great thing, though we take it so lightly, but I say, and I think about it, that that's the essence of all joy and happiness. As you would increase your levels of gratitude, proportionately your enjoyment, your happiness will just grow. But if we bring about complaint, discontentment, dissatisfaction, then proportionately the misery, anxiety, worry, tension, distress, all will grow. So this is now like the secret of enjoyment. Show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ishkur lillah. So now that's the essence of wisdom. But what is wisdom? What is the definition of wisdom? So the definition of wisdom is to be able to apply yourself correctly. You have got the information, right? One is to have the information, and one is to be able to apply the information, two different things. Many times I have to teach the young students, you know, the second year, the third year in the madrasa. So you have to teach them. Sometimes they gave a very good bayan on sabr. Right. So I would tell them, I compliment them, mashallah, the bayan is very well prepared, mashallah, presentation is very good. But understand, you only learned the bayan on sabr. The real sabr will be seen at home with your parents, interacting with people, friends, with different type of situations come across, you come across different situations, and do you remain composed? Composure, is it maintained? Then you'll see, all right, the man has got sabr, or doesn't have sabr. He's just got sabr in words, he doesn't have sabr in reality. It's two different things. On the lighter side, technically speaking, tomato is counted as a fruit. But wisdom says, you know, understand knowledge. Knowledge says that tomato is a fruit. But what is wisdom? Wisdom says that the tomato cannot be used as an ingredient in a fruit salad. If someone puts tomato in a fruit salad, kainga. It's two different things, chalk and cheese, right? Two different things. So one is the knowledge and one is the right application. Two different things. And sometimes we confuse ourselves. And I know these things. I know it. So what? Yes, you know it. That's one thing. But are you applying the thing as well? Two different things. To know it is a different thing. And to apply it is a different thing. And that's where the world is going off today. When we listen to so many bayans from this WhatsApp and whatever other. Now I know all these things. I know these things. Nothing new for me. All right. The amount that you know, how much do you apply? What's the level of application? And then the application has to be done under supervision. Not just application, but application under supervision. Then it goes right. You know, there was one professor in the madrasa. So there was a jamaat that was there. Tabligh jamaat, they came for some advice. So I explained that I like the tartib of the jamaat for many reasons, right? Because in a jamaat we'll have an alim, we'll have a ghair alim, everybody. So everybody is benefiting from one another, right? Each other. And I went on to explain that around the late 60s, the Jamaat had gone to Canada, right? it was late 60s or beginning 70s, up till then, they were performing the Juma namaz on a Sunday. So that professor that was with me, I was there that time. I know, I can remember the time when they were doing the Juma namaz on a Sunday. This Jamaat went, now the Jamaat has got a policy now. They can't criticize, they can't condemn, they can't despise, but in a very tactful way, they have to bring it to them, but this is not on. I told Barabar Niyamala, I told Nichala. This not, doesn't work this thing yet. You have to bring it back to Friday. Now imagine they were doing it all, at that time they were all professional people in Canada. But they didn't have the application right. So for the years that they were doing Juma namaz on the Sunday, I said, was it valid? Was that valid? Not valid. That Juma namaz has got a time, has got a place, has got a way to do it. You do it accordingly, it's valid. And you go against the procedure, it's not valid. So it has to be supervised as well. And with the supervision, that thing goes right. There was a great poet in Persia, you know, in those days, very great Persia, great poet. And he had heard about a poet in India, and poet was reading praises in the shan of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the poet was too ecstatic, you know, too attractive. It was so much, you know, it was consuming. Tears would just flow. So this poet in Persia, he said, no, I must go and meet this one here. This one, this Indian poet, I must go and meet him. So look at the level of love he's got. Look at the level of muhabbat that he's got. What ishq he's got. So I must go and pay him a visit. I owe it to him. So he took the trouble in that zamana, 3-4 centuries ago, came all the way to India, got the particulars. The time that he's meeting the poet, he saw the poet shaving off his beard. So he asked the poet, Indian poet, the Persian is asking the Indian, Aka shave me kuni, sir, what are you doing? So he says, that Rish mi tarasham, walakin dilakase na mi tarashi. I'm shaving off my beard, but I'm not hurting anybody. So his understanding of deen was not to hurt anybody. Right? That's an important part of deen, that you don't hurt anybody. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna mil lisani wa yadi. All of it is quite common. The true Muslim is one who doesn't hurt anybody. Everybody is safe. Verbally, emotionally, physically, everybody is safe. So that's a true Muslim. So now that's the understanding of Islam he had. Until he met up with this Persian poet. Now this poet, this Persian poet corrects him and tells him, Dile kase na mi tarashi, walakin dile Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mi tarashi. You may not be hurting anybody, but definitely you are stabbing the heart of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he left you with these beautiful teachings. You know, the teaching of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such that for no period in human life, in human history, has he left us as orphans, that now my deen, after 1 century or 10 centuries, everything is fired. Now you look for your own things. No. It is a complete package. Comprehensive, complete, full package. No matter which century you're living, where you're living, which time you're living, which race you belong to, which nationality you belong to, it's an absolute, complete, perfect package. So now, look at these people's iman at that time. You know, we're talking of iman, and look at his iman. So his iman was such, the Indian poet now responds and he cries and says, Jazakallah ke chashmam bazmi kardi. I'm really, really appreciative to you. Because you opened up my eyes. You joined me to the beloved. I didn't know about this. But now look at the immediate response. And I say, if it was someone today in this age, so well, what's wrong in this? The Islam is not just a beard. Our response would have been like this, that Islam is not just a beard. Islam has got a greater meaning. So, I'm never wrong. You see, this Western circular mind, they come for three things. Western circular mind, materialist, Western circular mind, three things, prominent, right? One is, you must improve the standard of living, right? Look at any circular Western educated person, standard of life must increase, must grow all the time. If you're driving a Corolla, you better upgrade Merc now. And Merc now, this is outdated, trade-in. Next year, this was the ultimate now, next year something else. It was upgrade all the time. So that's one thing that is prominent in this Western secular culture, all the time, upgrade. You can't stop at any point. At any point you can't stop, you just keep upgrading. Whereas our teaching is, right, you want happiness, then be content with halal rozi, with absolutely pure halal rozi, uncontaminated, unpolluted, absolutely pure, 100%. Just be happy with that content, happy with that. And you'll find the satisfaction that you can't believe. But just be happy and content with that halal rozi. So this is one thing that is prominent in the Western culture, right? Circular culture. The second thing that is prominent, يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَسَنَا. You want an extension in life. So go for this test and this examination and that vaccine, whatever. But you must have an extension in life. You didn't do this, therefore now, see, that was the consequence. So one is the quality of life, you know, I'll just pick up. Number two is you need an extension all the time. لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. All against our reasoning. Our culture is not that. Our culture is when the time of death is approaching, then you are longing to cross the bridge to Jannah. You are longing. Yes or no? لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَ اللَّهَ بَكَ. A few more moments, I'll put my things right, sort things right, then I'll carry on. And that culture was totally different. Our Islamic Muslim cultures, I'm waiting for that moment to meet the beloved, crossing the bridge to go and meet the beloved. I want that to happen. Alhamdulillah, we will not say that people in this zamana don't enjoy that. I know in this COVID time, right, some of my friends, right, and a few days before they could die, the sons are there to compliment them or to give them some encouragement. They were looking very well at the time, very well, eating well, smiling. So I said, Abba, you know, inshallah you live, man. Well, the father was angry. Hey, what's wrong with you, man? I want to meet Allah Ta'ala. I can't hold it now. I just want to meet my Allah Ta'ala now. But you see that ecstatic feeling of meeting Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is going so heavy that I don't want these things now. I want to go across. Well, that's a Muslim. When the time comes, then Allah makes it such that you want to. You have to move on now. You had enough of this. So that's the second thing that is very prominent in the Western culture. The third thing that is very prominent in the Western culture is, no matter how wrong I am, but I must appear to be good, right? I ask you, is that right or not right? No matter what's wrong you're doing, right? How many thousands of people you have killed in Afghanistan, right? But no, I'm right. Because why? Because I talk of gender equality. Because I talk of gender equality, I'm right. But the millions of people I killed in Iraq, in Afghanistan, that's not a problem. Men, women, children, old, young, all that, that is forgotten, that is history. But I'm the champion of humanity. Why? Because I talk of gender equality. See how they mix up things. Now the whole world will believe that. They'll forget the millions of people that are killed in Afghanistan for 20 years. The millions of people that are killed in Iraq, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, they killed all these people. Their hands are still dripping with the blood. But that is, all history is forgotten. Yeah, now, you know, I am the champion of humanitarian rights because I talk of gender equality. So it's all corrupt, confused. So this is the three things that are prominent in the Western culture. I am sharing this with you, that if you're living in that culture, in a minority, and it is likely that we become overwhelmed. We also think about our businesses. We are moving, so we are progressive. For a long life, so we are progressive. But it's not about the long life. Imagine, just for a moment, just to understand this concept, you've got a horse and trailer, right? 40 feet, right? Horse and trailer. But it's filled with stone, right? That is one. So long, 40 meters. And number two, the second one is, what a motorcycle he's got. So small, right? Hundreds of motorcycles will fit in that. Motorcycles, it's got a container with diamonds and rubies. Each one is worth $5 million. I ask you, what will you take? So it's not the size, it's what you have filled up into it. The quantity and the quality that you have filled up in it, that's what counts. Now we are thinking so much because so much of life, so therefore we are winning. No, no. It's what you have filled up, the quality, is it right? خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The whole process of life and death, whole procedure is for what? To see whose actions are best. Not whose actions are most, whose actions are best. That's what Allah is looking at. So, we're talking of Luqman al-Islam, and there's one, two of his advices I will share with you, right? Time is up now. So, he says to his son, one dua he says, gives this dua, that O Allah Ta'ala, there are three relationships. One is the relationship with you. So, the relationship with regards to you, make me the best. Make me from amongst the best. With regards to people, we have to live and socialize. Then, amongst people, then I must be moderate. Not too high and not right down. Right. And within myself, I must be counted as, I must think myself to be the worst. To Allah Ta'ala, Allah count me amongst the best. And amongst people, then moderate. Not too high, not too low. Because you have to live in this world, and you've got a little bit of respect, then people take, they will take precautions when they deal with you, right? And number three is, with regards to myself, then I must count myself amongst the lowest. The second advice he gives to his son, he says, you know, when you entrust anything to a trustworthy, honest person, then it is his integrity, his respect that will force him to give it to you in the way that you had entrusted. So my advice to you is, you entrust your iman and your Islam to Allah Ta'ala. Every day, you entrust, because that's the most precious of valuables that you can think of. Can you think of any valuable that is important, that is valuable, that is precious as your iman and Islam? So Allah Ta'ala, I entrust this to you. In the morning you say that, in the evening you say that, Allah Ta'ala, this I entrust to you. Right. The third advice, and then we'll close this now. Third advice he gave to his son, he says, my son, frequent janazas. Janazas, ghusl, giving the kafan, or getting at the kabristan, etc. Frequent this thing, going to the kabristan, going down to the grave, giving the ghusl, etc. Frequent this because this will remind you of the hereafter, of your real abode. And don't go too much to weddings. Now you'll see the deco, you'll see the person, the bride, whatever you'll see, all the show, and that will distract you from your original cause. Not that you don't go to it at all, and that people say that you're breaking up family ties, right? You'll go, but you don't have an interest in that. The interest is in this, in the things that will help you to go to your original abode. That's the original abode. It reminds you of that. So frequent that. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. الصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.